Dimapur is where most visitors to Nagaland enter the state. This rapidly growing and increasingly cosmopolitan town is just inside the border with Assam. It is where trains from what Nagas describe as the mainland call on their way to and from Bengal and to the furthest reaches of India's east. Beyond the station compound, often heaving with police and military patrols, a quarter of a million people drawn from across India and beyond its borders make some sort of living. Here are Tibetans, Bangladeshis, Hindus, Muslims, salarymen in suits, vast Baptist churches towering over makeshift shops, open-air food markets, a huge hospital, an airfield, military barracks. It looks like a town thrown together from scraps and distant memories of what a town here ought to be. This, though, is most visitors' first experience of Nagaland. Returning for the first time in some years, it reminded me of how one can travel so very far, seeking somewhere special, only to feel you have barely left home. A question anyone arriving at Dimapur might innocently ask is, where are the Nagas? They are here. They just happen to look more or less like everyone else in Dimapur, a town that superficially nods more to the world outside than to the mist-shrouded hills that rise high and far beyond its municipal borders. But Dimapur is not Nagaland. Nagaland is still some way off, up roads bustling with 4x4s, minibuses, and military convoys lumbering onwards and upwards to ever more remote villages, most of them out of bounds to foreigners and Indians alike. There is only one reliably metalled road through Nagaland. It leads from Dimapur to Kohima, the state capital, and on down south across the Burmese border to Manipur. Other roads vanish in the monsoons. They turn from negotiable tracks, tricky at the best of times, into flowing channels, tributaries, and even rivers of mud. They seem to be saying, "Turn back, there's no easy way up into these hills." On its western flank, along and above the Brahmaputra Valley, Nagaland rises to a little more than 2,000 feet. As you trek southeast from Dimapur, though, and on towards the Burmese border, the land climbs to an average of around 6,000 feet, rising to 12,552 feet at the peak of Mount Saramati, high above the orchids and rhododendrons. It is notoriously hard to get above the brooding, hail-filled clouds that wreathe the Naga Hills in the long months of the monsoon. Yet when the clouds lift, views of Nagaland from these crests, peaks and ridges, whether at 2,000 feet or 12,000 feet, are utterly sublime. For mile after mile, a densely green landscape rises from leech-infested, mosquito-haunted tropical jungle before plunging down the next ravine to deeply shadowed rivers snaking through hills. Ravine follows ravine in apparently ever closer succession, until the greenery blurs into one under peerless blue skies. In spring, the hills are a mass of alpine flowers. This might be Switzerland or Austria. You could almost break into song. And perhaps you should, now that Dimapur is a distant memory. This deep valley landscape means that travel through Nagaland can only ever be difficult. It is easy to see, though, why Dimapur, back across the border with Assam, and with its semblance of modernity and lack of hills, attracts a growing number of settlers. Nagas love to tell tales as the vast vermilion sun sets over the hills, and the skies turn the deepest star-studded black of wandering souls in their forests. Forests so dense that getting lost with the possibility of never being discovered is a genuine concern. Nagas have told me that skeletons and ghosts of wartime British and Japanese pilots haunt the jungle, as do prowling were-tigers and even Shaitan himself, a demonic giant who threatens hills and valleys after dark. And if the supernatural doesn't bother you, then cobras, venomous insects, enormous leeches, and other hidden creeping things are dangers real enough. No wonder most rural Nagas are in bed soon after dark.